Hello, I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River coming up in just a moment, talking about fantasy sports, possible changes, a bill in the legislature having to do with betting on fantasy sports. But first, as we just heard, with the last week of our silent fund drive, we'd like to raise all of our goal of $325,000. If you go to iowapublicradio.org, we're so close to $130,000 raised so far, and that's been done without interrupting news and information that you value. If we want to reach our goal, we need to have you on board as well. iowapublicradio.org. Make your pledge of support. It's just a few clicks. Or you can call us 800-235-2665. iowapublicradio.org or 800-235-2665. This has all been done without interrupting programming. Let's continue and reach that overall goal. iowapublicradio.org. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Millions of people draft their own perfect sports teams, pit them against one another. It's called fantasy sports, and often they make money doing it. We're going to be talking about that today on this Legislative Monday. Mondays during the legislative session in Des Moines, we like to tackle issues that lawmakers are wrestling with as well and debating. Fantasy sports is on our docket for today. Joining me, as always, on Legislative Mondays, Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell. Hello, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
So before we find out the ABCs of fantasy sports in just a moment from an expert, let's have you tell us what's happening at the Iowa legislature concerning possible changes in the law.
Well, the Iowa Senate passed a bill last year to legalize fantasy sports betting in Iowa. Iowa is one of only a few states who don't allow it, and it's now in the House. It's advancing in the state government committee, and I believe there's still some optimism that it could pass this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joining us as well by phone is Ed Miller. He's a game design consultant who resides in Las Vegas. Ed Miller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great to have you with us. And we want to reach out to our listeners who happen to be fantasy sports players. Should Iowa join the large majority of other states in legalizing daily fantasy sports betting? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at Iowa at IPR Talk. Ed Miller, start us off, because a number of us will not really have ever played fantasy sports. So let's do a little bit of learning here. What is it? How does it work?
Okay, well, so fantasy sports is a sort of a broad set of games, and the idea is that you choose players who are playing in, you know, sports games. Baseball, you know, just started. Today's opening day, so baseball, you pick players. So for baseball, for instance, you pick a catcher, you pick a first baseman, second baseman, and then they play the game. And you get points for everything that your player does.
Mm-hmm. And all of these players, even though it's called fantasy sports, the players are real. It's just the team that you construct is fantasy, is your fantasy team.
Yeah, sure. So fantasy is a game, right? So there's the player of the game, which would be you or me. And then there's the athletes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how does money enter the picture then?
So a couple of years ago, someone invented, money's kind of always been a part of fantasy sports. So traditional fantasy sports is, you know, I'm going to get 10 of my friends from work or from high school or whatever, and we're going to play a league. We're each going to pick players, and then whoever gets the most points is going to end up winning a prize at the end of the season. So typically, that's sort of typically how it's been, you know, for decades now. The last couple of years, there was a new version of the game called Daily Fantasy Sports. And that game was really facilitated by the internet, you know, by the ability to connect people, you know, all over the country and in other countries. It's a daily game. So you mm-hmm. would go in today and you would say, you would pick players just for today's games. So you could do it for today's opening day baseball games. And you could pick players, and then you would enter your lineup into a contest. And the contest has varying entry fees from as little as 25 cents up to $1,000 or more.
Okay, so when we play the daily version of us, daily fantasy sports, and we pick it, so all the players that I pick, if I would pick a fantasy sports team today, they would have to all be playing today.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So how does this work as an industry? Give us sort of a larger view of how big this has become and how it operates and who are the operators?
Sure. So there's two large operators and some smaller operators. The large operators are called FanDuel and DraftKings. So they have websites. Basically, you can go to the website. You can deposit money with them. And then the way it works is that the contests are listed on their website. You use the website for everything, to create your lineup, to enter contests, and so forth. And then once the baseball games, for instance, or football games or whatever get started, then it tracks the performance of your team. So that's really how the operators, what they're offering is kind of this venue to play this game. And the way their business model works is that they take a percentage out of every prize pool. So let's say you want to enter a contest for $3, and there are 10,000 entries in that contest. That's not atypical. That's a real number.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, 10,000 is small, actually, for certain sports like football and baseball, the more popular sports. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, 10,000. So there would be $30,000 in entry fees for that tournament, right? Three times 10,000. So typically the operator would return, say, 27,000 of those to the prize pool, to the players, to whoever wins the game, and then they would keep 3,000 for operating the game.
Mm-hmm. How much money can you make here? Are there fantasy sports players who have this as a full-time job?
Absolutely, yeah. So this is definitely a game that you can be good at. The skill of the game is sort of multi-layers of complexity. There's the ability to predict which players are going to be good, and then there's another layer of the game, which is it actually is to your benefit if you can predict how the other players of the game will tend to play. So not only do I want to be able to figure out, hey, Bryce Harper's likely to hit a home run today, but I also want to be able to figure out, hey, my competitor, you know, the fantasy player 1, 2, 3, he likes Bryce Harper, so maybe I should pick someone else.
Right. Okay. So this is not rolling the dice. With increased knowledge of the players and the nuances of the sport, you're going to be earning more money, right, Ed?
And the game itself. And the people who get good at this, they do spend pretty much all day. It's a full-time job for them. And you can make easily a full-time salary or more, you know, for mm-hmm. a typical skilled full-time job.
Uh-huh. That's at the top end. At the bottom end, we have people who just play this as a sort of a recreation occasionally and don't expect to win or lose very much money.
Sure, that's almost everybody. You know, almost everybody who plays the game doesn't want to spend their entire life researching it, thinking about it. They just, you know, kind of want to pick their favorite players and enter maybe a $3 contest. And then, you know, when they sit and watch the game, this makes it a little bit more exciting.
Right. And am I right in saying that sort of the real challenge to maintain a healthy operation is you've got this wide spectrum between the recreational players and the professionals there. Aren't there challenges in having them coexist on the same fantasy sports playing field, so to speak?
Absolutely, because you need everybody to kind of have their needs met. You know, they talk about player ecologies for games like this. And, yeah, the goal is, well, you want the professional players to be able to make enough money so that there continue to be interest. You want the casual players to feel like it's a fair game, to feel like they have a chance, to feel like, sure, they're not the favorite. You know, usually they're going to lose. But, you know, sometimes if they do particularly well one day, they can win also. And then there's kind of the middle players who are serious players, and that's a category that kind of gets swept under the rug, but it's very important, which is players who are very interested in the game. They want to take it seriously. They maybe have aspirations of playing at the professional level or something, but, you know, they're not there yet, and really they're not winning money yet. And you want the game to be aspirational for them. So you want to give them a path. You want to say, hey, if you work in this way or that way, at the game, you can get better, and you too can join kind of the top tier of players.
Mm-hmm. And as you look nationwide, you have a good nationwide view. Ed Miller, you certainly heard us talk a little bit, Joyce and I talk a little bit about how it may be changing here in the future. So the vast majority of states allow this this sort of betting to go on. Can you give us a quick overview of how that works in the vast majority of states, and Iowa an outlier currently?
Well, yeah, I think so what it is it's there's a federal law that carves out fantasy sports, which basically says there are federal laws against gambling, right? You know, and there's a specific federal law that says fantasy sports is exempt from those laws, if that makes sense. So basically the federal government has said, hey, we're not going to set the rules on fantasy sports. And so what that means is that's left it up to the states, and the states can choose one way or the other.
And the rationale there is that this is not rolling the dice. This is something you have to have knowledge about.
I think that's one rationale. I think another rationale is that it's a fun game that most people play, in a positive way. You know, it basically adds to most people's experience in a positive way. I can tell you personally that I'm much more interested in sports when I'm playing fantasy, and I'm much more likely to watch sports or go to a game or, in that way. So I think that's sort of the rationale for why this is, probably different from other forms of gambling.
Mm-hmm. Ed Miller is with us, a game design consultant, lives in Las Vegas, who's telling us about the basics of fantasy sports, traditional fantasy sports, also the newer daily fantasy sports in which you can earn some money. If you'd like to join our conversation, your question as we talk about the legislative moves here afoot as well. Should Iowa join the large majority of other states in legalizing daily fantasy sports betting? 1-866-780-9100. Do you play daily fantasy sports? What do you think? Mostly skill, or is quite a bit of chance involved? 1-866-780-9100. Joyce Russell with me here, Iowa Public Radio's Statehouse correspondent as well. So can you give me an example, Ed, before we wrap up this conversation? You've given us sort of the basic level of things. Give me a little bit of shop talk here, if you could.
Okay.
Like an example of a fairly involved choice here that someone would make in such a game.
Okay, so sure. So let's take today as an example. Today they're playing, many teams are playing their first baseball game of the season, and so you could choose a baseball lineup. Now, what most people are going to do is they're going to look at, every player has a price. The price is a game price. It's not real money. It's just defined by the site. And one of the constraints of your lineup is you have to, get within a certain price. And Bryce Harper, he's, anyone who follows baseball knows who he is. He's from Las Vegas. He was the National League MVP last year. He hits lots of home runs. He's a great baseball player. Well, today, for some reason, I'm not sure why, one of the main sites has made him sort of cheap to play. So you could choose Bryce Harper for your team, and it won't even cost you that much today. Now, a lot of players would look at that and say, wow, that's a sure thing. I'm going to do that. But a professional player would think more about, well, are too many players going to use him? Because the goal is that, let's say there's 10,000 entries, the goal is to finish in first place. So the goal is to beat 9,999 other people. And to do that, you have to think not just the way everyone else thinks, but you also have to think a little differently. And so that would be a choice you would make. You would look at that and you would say, well, I know lots of people are going to choose Bryce Harper because he's a good player, but maybe I should intentionally not choose him to try to give myself the chance to win first place. Like, what if he goes 0-for-4 today? What does that do to the 70% of people that picked him, say, or 50% or 40%? Maybe that kind of disqualifies them from winning, and now I have a much better chance to win. So that's the kind of thinking that's required to play this game successfully.
Wow. That one example tells me how you can really get wrapped up in this, have it consume your thinking throughout your waking day, Ed Miller. I wonder if you can stay with us till half past as we add another guest to our conversation. Ed Miller, a game design consultant, good enough to walk us through the ABCs and a little bit farther of the fantasy sports here. Also joining us from the State House Law Library with Joyce Russell, Guy Van der Linden. He is a representative, a Republican from Oskaloosa, state representative. Van der Linden, welcome to you.
Thank you, Ben. Good to be here.
So tell us right now, where is Iowa law as you see it right now? You're in favor of this bill that would change Iowa law. Where is Iowa law now, and where do you want it to go?
Well, Iowa law right now does not recognize fantasy sports in any way. Last year, the Senate passed a bill that would have allowed fantasy sports in a very big way into Iowa. That bill came over to the House and didn't go any further, probably because we ran out of time. But primarily, those of us in the House who are supporting this legislation are interested in making sure that we have a good handle on control of it, because although you will hear the fantasy sports lobby often tout how this is a game of skill and not gambling, we find that to be a ridiculous argument, frankly. Mm. You're putting down money in hopes that through your skillful choice of a team, you get more money back. That is gambling.
Right.
And that's kind of our going in position.
Okay, so you said you want to make sure that this legislation has a good handle on control. What are we controlling? What tendencies are most worrying to you when you look where this could go, where you don't want it to go?
Well, I don't know about any tendencies, but as I said—
What are you guarding against when you say a good handle on control?
I'm guarding against illegal gambling. This is gambling, and we are going to treat it like we do all other gambling in the state of Iowa. We're going to put it under the Racing and Gaming Commission. We're going to license these people, and we're going to tax them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, should that commission do a study of this so we can find out more? Is all the data there that we need?
I think it is. The IRGC tells us that they are perfectly capable of handling this challenge, and they are doing, in my opinion, a good job of handling casino gambling in the state. So, yeah, I think they are capable of doing this.
Okay. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Cole is with us, joining us in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Cole.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead with your question. Do you play fantasy sports?
No, but I used to play internet poker, which is exactly the same thing. It's a form of gambling with a skill element, mm-hmm. and the government has stopped me from doing that. Now they're trying to say that I can't gamble on sports. But the hypocrisy that bothers me with the government is I can go to the Hy-Vee store and spend my rent money gambling on the state lottery. That's perfectly all right. So there's a lot of hypocrisy there in what the state is doing. And I wanted to bring internet poker into the discussion because it's the same issue exactly. So I'll hang up and listen to any comments.
Okay, reaction to that, Representative Van der Linden.
Well, internet poker is regulated by the federal government, so we really couldn't do anything about that. I do agree with the caller that in that it has the element of gambling and an element of skill. I think that is common with fantasy sports.
Mm-hmm. We were planning to have Representative Dan Kelly with us, a Democrat from Newton, who is against this bill, but we haven't been able to get him so far hooked up to our conversation. Perhaps he will come later. But just let me mention what I imagine will be one of his chief concerns, Representative Van der Linden, will be, increasing gambling problems in the state. We'll talk about that in the second half hour with an addiction expert here. Are you concerned about furthering gambling addiction problems in the state?
No, I'm not personally. I don't see this as a major expansion of gambling. I see this as adding one more game, in essence, to it. I don't anticipate tremendous problems from this one game.
Mm-hmm. Representative Vanderlinden, and I, as we're talking here, I'm wondering, this has come to light since these daily games have become popular, whereas before, as we've said, it was a group of friends who would get together and play this game together. And I'm wondering if Iowa law was treating that the same way it treats small betting on the NCAA.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a good point. Previously, when we first looked at this back in 2014, those of us who weren't actively involved in it were thinking of the bunch of guys get together in somebody's basement and do this for trophies and pocket change and that kind of stuff. And I think that's what the feds were thinking about when they passed their law or said that this was not gambling. In the meantime, the daily game has changed everything. Now we're talking major money, big-time business. This is a much, much bigger problem. So all of these states that are mentioned often as we've got whatever the number is, 40-some states who have approved it, I think they approved it before they realized that there was this daily game. Now that Iowa, among other states, is looking at regulation and taxation, we're seeing a lot of second thoughts amongst those states who have already approved it about just how much regulation they want to impose.
Ed Miller, you're with us there. Does this coexist? You're a game design consultant. Coexist with traditional gambling? What is the relationship there that you can tell us about? Anything? Do they mostly cater to the same type of person, or is this a different clientele?
I think it's a varied clientele. I come from the poker background. I wrote poker books and so forth. And a fair number of people from kind of the poker world have come to daily fantasy because in some ways there are similar elements. I certainly don't disagree that both poker and daily fantasy, I know the industry itself is shying from the word gambling, but there's no question that you're entering a contest with the hope of winning money. I would say I think it is a little bit of a different phenomenon from, say, like a slot machine type gambling or like blackjack or so forth. I think it targets a completely different type of person. I think typically the people who play daily fantasy tend to be younger people in their 20s and 30s and, people who view it, they're looking at it like a strategy game, especially a lot of people really do put, they don't put all day into it, but they put, an hour a day, maybe, of research and looking into it. So it's a very different experience as a game than, say, a slot machine where you just kind of walk up and push the button a few times and hope you win. And it's a different type of person who's interested in the game. So to that extent, I think it's fair to kind of draw a distinction between the type of gambling that is a game like daily fantasy sports or even like poker, and the type of gambling that is sort of traditional casino gambling.
Okay, Ed Miller, thank you for joining us, game design consultant in Las Vegas. Thank you so much. We'll say goodbye to you here.
Thank you very much.
Staying with us, of course, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell as we continue to talk about fantasy sports and possible law change here in Iowa. Should Iowa join the majority, large majority of other states? I think there are only four other states that do not have legalized daily fantasy sports betting. 1-866-780-9100, especially if you engage in this. We'll be back also with Representative Guy Vanderlinden. When we come back, it's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. Fantasy sports, is it gambling? Should Iowa fantasy sports players continue to be banned from legally claiming prizes and big bucks, unlike the vast majority of players nationwide? Or should they be allowed to bank their winnings under a bill before the Iowa legislature? That's what we're discussing this hour. On hand with me from the State House Law Library, Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell. We also have Representative Guy Vanderlinden, a Republican from Oskaloosa, who is in favor of the bill. And we'd like to have you join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Josh, as a matter of fact, tweeting within the last few minutes, big surprise, a lawmaker looking for another way to tax us. A big difference between playing a slot machine and fantasy sports, the tweet from Josh. We heard from Representative Guy Vanderlinden in the first half hour. In just a moment, we'll hear an opposing voice in our legislature, Joyce. But to ask you a little bit about this bill, this is legislation that would bring this process under the purview of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission?
That's right. Very similar to the way that casinos are and all of the other gambling is regulated by the Racing and Gaming Commission. Taxing and all of that would be somewhat different from the way casinos are taxed, and that's one of the reasons why the casinos are not wild about this bill. Casinos also see this as just new competition for gambling.
Mm-hmm. And there would be a 7.5% tax here, so that would flow into state coffers.
That's right.
Okay. Dan Kelly is with us. Representative Dan Kelly is a Democrat from Newton. We couldn't connect with you in our first half hour. Wanted to make sure your perspective was in on this conversation. Representative Kelly, welcome to our program.
Sure. Thank you. I'm happy to be on the program today.
What are your primary objections to this bill, to this move?
Well, I want to say, while I'm glad that in the last year we've taken steps towards regulation, I do oppose the bill. And I would like to see Iowa stay out of the fantasy sports business. What we're really talking about here is the start of online gambling in Iowa and possibly the start of sports gambling in Iowa. And I think in the grand scheme of things, that's what this bill represents. Last year, and even still now, there is much confusion about what is the difference between daily online fantasy sports and what is traditional fantasy sports. I've participated in traditional fantasy sports in trophy leagues where you have a group of friends who draft a team at the start of the season, and you make trades, you bench players, you start players. You have to really know the sport in order to win the trophy at the end of the season. Now, I know that there are lots of folks who do that and put money on it, but I'm opposed to gambling, and so I participate in trophy leagues. This is much, much different than what daily fantasy sports amounts to. What you have is a complex parlay system where chance plays a large role in the outcome, therefore it is gambling. You can have a bad bounce of a ball, a bad call, bad weather. The shorter the amount of time that of the events that you're betting on, which are one game, one day's participation by a particular athlete or a group of athletes, the larger the role that chance plays and therefore makes it in line with gambling rather than having knowledge of the sport and really being strategizing and so forth in traditional fantasy sports. Iowans are not ready for online gambling. I think in general they would prefer that we stay out of online gambling. There's lots of ways that Iowans can gamble already. We have casinos, we have lottery, we have lots of avenues for that. We don't need to add another one. If we do get into online gambling in the state of Iowa, we're going to see an increase in the number of gambling addicts that we have in the state. This will be an activity that you don't have to drive 20 miles to the casino for. This is something that you can just do at home on your home computer, or just do it wherever you're at on your cell phone. And what I would like to see is for us to step back yet another year, possibly 2 years, and see how this develops in other parts of the country. That certainly did us well in this previous year. And I think eventually you're going to see many, many of the states who have stepped forward with this back off.
Should we have our Racing and Gaming Commission, Representative Kelly, study this?
I would like to see a study. I don't know who the right right outlet would be for that study. I'd prefer to see something done at an academic university, but any type of study would certainly do us well.
Okay. Representative Kelly, Joyce, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Representative Vanderlinde about do you have an estimate of how much tax revenue this would bring into the state?
Yeah, there is a number, and frankly, I can't remember what it is. But the important piece there is somebody in moments ago said we're taxing it differently than we do casinos. That's true, but we are taxing it proportionally. So the gentleman who said, "Don't tax my slot machine?" Oh, yes, we do, and we tax it really heavily, like in the 22% to 24% range. We are estimating how much money is going to come in from fantasy sports, and we are taxing it at the same rate. If it turns out the revenue is much higher, believe me, we will tax it higher.
And just to clarify, the reason Iowans can't play these daily sports fantasy sports games now is because the two companies that run these games won't let Iowans play it because of Iowa's law.
That's
right?
Correct.
Well, that's a very good point, Joyce. Again, this is Representative Kelly. The major fantasy sports entities have chosen not to participate to allow Iowans to participate. That's their choice. They consider our laws too vague. Of course, they don't want to wind up in the courts. I predict that if we don't pass this law, they'll probably just open the gates and allow it, and then we'll wind up in court with this. I think that we need to just step back and take another look at this, do a study. I would prefer that we never allow it in the state of Iowa because it will open up the door for more gambling addiction and open up the door for online gaming in the state of Iowa.
To the point of gambling addiction, we have with us as well Eric Preuss, a program manager for the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program, to give us a quick overview, go in-depth briefly about gambling addiction. Eric Preuss, welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome. Good to be here. Thanks.
Tell us, we have, it's estimated, several hundred thousand Iowans playing fantasy sports. I don't know which level they are at. I don't know if that statistic gives us that, but what can we expect in terms of problem addictions arising out of such a move here?
Well, I think we have a study that's going to be released here from UNI that we've done in 2011, 2013, and again here in 2015 to survey the gambling attitudes and behaviors of adult Iowans. And the one thing that has been pretty steady over the years has been that we know that there's about 60 to 70% of Iowans that gamble, adult Iowans that gamble in any given year. We know that about 1 in 10 of those adult Iowans, about 13%, are classified at-risk gamblers. And what that simply means is they've experienced one of the signs or symptoms of problem gambling that, if they have 4 or more of those, we would say, hey, they are a disordered gambler, a pathological gambler, a compulsive gambler.
Quickly, what are those red flags?
Some of those things can be as simple as have they found themselves restless or irritable when trying to think about or stopping or cutting down on their gambling? Have they lied to a family member about what might be going on with their gambling? Mm-hmm. Have they had financial problems? I mean, there's more, but just off the top.
Mm-hmm. I guess isn't a question here, Eric, you must have asked yourself here this too. We already have gambling in the state. We have casinos all over the state. You can go to your local convenience store and gamble in lottery, for instance. Does this make a difference to open this up to fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports?
Yeah, I think two pieces that I can offer in here is that we know from the data from the 2015 study is that about 1 in 10 Iowans have engaged in fantasy sports playing. Now, we didn't collect data specifically about daily fantasy sports, but what we know from those 1 in 10, from those, that 8%, it's about 178,000 Iowans, that we know that for those, they had a higher risk of being at risk for problem gambling. So it's just another opportunity for those folks who may be at risk for problem gambling to continue on that path, if you would.
Mm-hmm. Could you have some part of the legislation here that would provide additional treatment or monies for treatment that would sort of curtail any increase in addiction?
I think I'm not going to turn away any additional dollars into the program, but that's what we're here for through 1-800-BETS-OFF. I think a lot of folks are familiar here in Iowa of 1-800-BETS-OFF as the entree for assistance for either individuals struggling with problem gambling or with family members who have concerns about others that might have problem gambling.
Eric Preuss, thank you very much, Program Manager for the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Vander Linden, I wanted you to respond to what Representative Kelly was saying about if Iowa doesn't pass a law, then these two main companies that do the daily fantasy sports will just let Iowans play anyway, and then it'll end up in court. How likely is that?
Yeah, frankly, I think that's a very good argument for why we need to regulate it. If the fear is that these people are going to ignore the current situation, just go ahead and do it anyway, then I think it's better that we have them licensed and taxed and that we limit it to 21-year-olds like the bill would have us do.
And as far as whether people are sneaking in and playing now, the companies say they're not allowing Iowans to play, but there have been some indications that some Iowans are playing anyway.
Yeah, I would never underestimate the ingenuity of Iowans or anybody else getting around any electronic system. So I kind of think there's probably some going on.
Our coming to the end as we talk about fantasy sports, perhaps changing the laws here in Iowa. Casey is on the line from Bettendorf, who's been listening to our conversation. Casey, welcome to the program. What do you want to toss in?
Hi. Well, I wanted to first just bring it up that you can't really outlaw something just because a small percentage of people may become addicted to it. We don't outlaw other things like cigarettes, alcohol, etc. Also, in response to Representative Kelly, who wants to keep Iowa, quote, out of the gambling business or the online gambling business, with all due respect, it's not up to him. Iowans are going to either participate or not in this market, and it's either run regulated or it's regulated. And you need, in my opinion, you need to protect the consumers in this, not only fantasy sports, online poker. The Iowa legislature for the last two legislation sessions had an online poker bill that they at least once passed through half of the House. So,
Okay. Casey, okay. We understand your perspective. Representative Kelly, tell us about that. He's saying it's going to happen anyway. Why not control it, regulate it, and have the state profit, I guess, off of it a little bit?
Sure. Well, I want to say that I do strongly oppose the bill. I want to see us move away from gambling as a major source of revenue for our state. But I do want to be clear. I applaud Representative Vander Linden for stepping back a year, taking a look at this, and for his efforts. I simply think that the state of Iowa is too dependent on gambling. I think we have too many different outlets for it. We don't do enough for gambling addicts and their families. There's many things that we could do in terms of funding programs, making them more readily available, making folks who may be dealing with a gambling addiction or wondering if they deal with a gambling addiction aware of these programs and what treatment is available. I think there's much, much more we can do. And if, in the meantime, the legislature, and I'm a member of the legislature, but generally when there's gambling money being spent, I don't vote for that bill because I think that we're too dependent upon the gambling addict, and that's not the way we need to go. Mm-hmm. I think that fantasy sports opens the door for online gambling in Iowa. I think that it's being done in such a way that we're not having a broad discussion throughout the state about whether or not Iowans want online gambling. And I think those voices need to be heard before we take a step such as changing our laws so that fantasy sports entities that have lots and lots of money feel comfortable doing business in Iowa. I think that we need to put Iowans first, not the big fantasy sports corporations from out of state.
Okay. Representative Kelly, I don't know if you were in the room in one of these earlier discussions.
I was about a half an hour ago. Yep.
But the backers of this bill, actually a representative of the company, said that fantasy sports is fast becoming our national pastime.
Yeah.
That must make you crazy to hear that, huh?
Well, traditional fantasy sports, again, I enjoy traditional fantasy sports. You're required to have a knowledge of the sport, a love of the sport. It's good competition among friends. You can do it without involving money and betting and gambling and so forth. But what we're seeing here is something much, much different. Chance plays a major role in the outcome. It's all about the money. And frankly, it's not about the Iowans' money. It's about the fantasy sports entities. And they just want one more state they can come in and take all they can from.
Let's add one more perspective to this discussion before we end the hour about fantasy sports and possible changes in the law to permit it, betting on it here in Iowa. Peter Shanke is with us, chairman of the Fantasy Sports Trade Association. Peter, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're talking about this bill. What will happen to fantasy sports here in Iowa depending on whether this law changes or not? What are the two scenarios?
Well, I think, you know, the focus here is on daily fantasy, and understandably so, but this bill does a lot more than that. It's not clear in the law right now in Iowa if you and your friends have a pool of money and for your fantasy sports league, if you're breaking the law, you wouldn't want to see someone's employment or some other issue happen because of their participation in a fantasy sports league of any form. And then also, the leagues, the full season leagues, the other contests that have been around for decades that involve prizes, whether you win a prize even for the free entry or if you pay money, you can't win those in Iowa. And this whole effort was started in 2014 by Representative Jake Highfill, who had a constituent that couldn't win a prize in a fantasy sports league. It was not a daily contest. So it does a lot more than just daily. And on the daily standpoint, we're supportive of it. It sets up some good regulations. Daily's a little bit of a different animal than these other ones, I would agree. These are some really tough regulations for industry and some good standards. And mm-hmm. I think it'll make it so that the businesses can operate and there'll be a fair playing field for all the consumers.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. Consumer protections. What consumer protections are built into this bill? Why?
Well, there's like things such as a segregation of funds, so the operators can't spend the prize money, and it'll be there, and the customers will get their money. There's age restrictions. There's a number of things that the industry itself has kind of advocated for years, and that's put into place here in Iowa, and I think that will help protect Iowa consumers.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea that we need to study this more? That it hasn't been properly vetted in this state for us to take this step?
Well, like I said, this effort was started in 2014. I personally have driven to Iowa about 8 times, met with a lot of legislators. I know there's been a lot of study on it. So, I think it's been pretty well vetted. And I think that the amendment that Mr. Vanderland there put forth is really well thought out, and we appreciate his support. And I think this isn't something that Iowa has rushed to do. There's been years of looking into it.
What about the concern there that you're mixing really high-grade people who spend their entire day thinking and engaging in this sort of fantasy, daily fantasy sports activity, earning a living off of it, and others who are mixing with those who are just at it at a recreational level, earning or losing a very small amount of money? What are the challenges you see there, Peter, in keeping it healthy for both level of players?
Well, there's kind of two things there. One is that, it's a game with a lot of skill. So like any skill game, when you're playing golf or what other competition you have, there are just going to be some people who are better because they have innate skills. They try harder. And so that's going to happen in any game with a large amount of skill. And then, the big contests we talked about here before, the 10,000 entries and the big prizes. Not the only way you can play. I mean, you can play head-to-head against somebody or a league with that's 50-50 where the top half wins and the bottom half loses. You can play in leagues just for beginners. So there's a variety of formats, and so you don't always have to go against the best in the world. And so I think that's one thing that kind of gets lost in that debate.
Okay. Joyce, perhaps as we finish up the hour, we can talk about where this bill is, remind our listeners where this bill is right now, what needs to happen.
It's in the State Government Committee, right? No?
Ways and Means.
It's in the Ways and Means Committee, and it's already passed State Government Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's a Ways and Means bill, it is exempt from any kind of deadlines for action. Representative Vanderland and I understand that the NCAA has recently reached an accord with this industry, and they've agreed to take college sports out of this. Is that a good thing in your mind?
Yes, that's in the bill, the latest version of the bill, as well as coaches, referees, all those kinds of officials are not eligible to play either.
And what do you think are the prospects for this bill?
Well, we'll know more after today. I think the House Republican caucus may be taking a look at it today, and we'll know a great deal more about it after that.
And what, very briefly, what kind of vibes are you getting there?
I'm cautiously optimistic that we will have a majority, but we haven't talked as a family about it yet, so we'll see.
Could we get Dan Kelly's view on the prospects? What is it from your vantage point, Dan Kelly, Representative Kelly?
Well, I know that I'll be voting no, and I know that there is some concern in both caucuses. I think that it's like all other bills. We need to allow the caucuses to have their discussions and vet the bill. And I don't want to make – not being a betting man, I don't want to make a prediction on it. But I know where I stand on it. One thing that I
We have to go, Dan, Representative okay. Dan Kelly. I'm sorry. We've just run out of time. Time is unforgiving that way. Thank you for joining us, Democrat from Newton. Also, thank you, Representative Guy Vander Linden, Republican from Oskaloosa. We appreciate your time as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all for joining us. River to River is produced by Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Boone. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.